Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hi, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
Today, we want to discuss a situation that may sound crazy, you know, My Crazy Office, but may actually be very sane.
Mm.
The news today is that there's a CEO. His name actually is Dan Price in Seattle, who's cutting his $1 million salary back to $70,000 and raising his employees to $70,000.
Mm.
That's everyone, no less than $70,000. After that, we want to ask a question about inequity in pay. So today's about pay.
It's all about the money.
Yeah. So
Show me the money.
Let's talk about, I mean, I printed out the article that came out in the New York Times, but actually came out in every paper, and I saw Dan Price on the news this morning.
Yeah.
So, I think the whole thing is really fascinating. And so the New York Times, let me just quote this. The United States has one of the largest pay gaps,
yes,
with chief executives earning nearly 300 times what the average worker makes, which I think is fascinating. And it's clearly not what, you know, I mean, they're saying that Peter Drucker even said years ago, 2-to-1 ratio is really what we want.
2-to-1.
Yeah.
Holy
cow. Oh, sorry,
cow.
20-to-1.
20-to-1
ratio,
yes.
Not 300.
Yeah.
So that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And apparently in 2010, the financial overhaul passed by Congress, the Securities and Exchange Commission, were supposed to require all publicly held companies to disclose the ratio of CEO pay to the median pay of all other employees.
And how's that going?
Yeah, it has so, it has so far failed to be put into effect.
Yeah.
Corporate executives have vigorously opposed the idea, complaining it would be cumbersome and costly to implement.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got this 30-year-old guy,
yes,
that comes out and does this in his own small business when, you know, most corporations are not doing it. So I just think it's really interesting. We don't know where it's going to go.
I love it.
I do too.
Because it really speaks to, well, so many things, but it speaks to a different value system, really,
right?
He's looking at, first of all, he's looking at his company as a whole, mm-hmm, an organism that needs to be well-fed, that everyone needs to be in good enough shape and have enough money that they're not under constant pressure,
right,
and that they can deliver. His feeling, I guess, is that they will work better and be more productive, but also be happier employees.
Right.
The happiness factor.
Right, and that they'll deliver a better product because of it.
Yeah.
And he says that he doesn't have a need for that much money. His,
right,
you know, hobbies, mm-hmm, are minimal, and he bartered to get his car or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
He just seems like possibly that is the future of,
yeah,
what CEOs are going to be like, because I think he speaks for a generation,
uh-huh,
which I think I was born in the wrong generation. I would rather be working with him than people that need this mega millionaire,
yes,
thing. They have to have big houses and you know, our values have got to change.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, he based this on a study, right, by,
right,
Angus Deaton and Daniel Kahneman, I think is the proper way of pronouncing his name, about emotional well-being, where they discovered really that the experience of joy, stress, sadness, anger, all that, that it rises with income, but only to a point, and that point is $75,000.
Right. And, you know, the report also says you can't buy happiness, but it buys comfort,
mm-hmm,
for people, which, you know, the whole thing is really fascinating. And we know that 80% of workers in this country are disengaged.
Mm-hmm.
They're not happy at work. And this is definitely a piece of it. I mean, I love to see that this is happening. And I hope that we see more of it.
It would be great to see more of it. And also to follow this. Now, what happens? What happens after you do something radical, really, for the U.S., mm-hmm, and for the capitalist system? What happens when you do something like this? How will his company grow going forward?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see also if he gets attacked, Mm-hmm. So far, he hasn't been attacked. So far, he's gotten really good publicity. But you know that could turn. And I'm very interested to see, because this is not good news for a lot of other people.
Other CEOs, you mean?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah. It's not.
What do you think will happen? Do you think people will stage riots at their corporations or something?
No, I think it's just going to be more subtle. Like, this will get downplayed. Uh-huh. I mean, I don't really know what's going to happen. No one has ever, ever done this.
Uh-huh.
He's really breakthrough in making this move.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, there's the recruiters that like to, you know, recruit the CEOs, because then they make a big piece of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a whole industry of, you know, of people, multimillionaires running corporations while everyone else is struggling.
It's beautiful, really.
Well, I think
the American dream.
Well, you know, fast food workers have been uniting to get higher minimum wage. Mm-hmm. And we are seeing this groundswell of people actually revolting in unions now, saying, you know, this is not okay. So it's got to come from somewhere. It's not necessarily going to come from profit. It has to come from the people that are just taking, gouging these.
Well, and the real
companies.
Change and even the real hiring has classically happened in small businesses, right? I mean, small businesses they're nimble enough that they can really bring in change, herald change in a way that larger corporations are not as able to do.
Well, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. But it's not the small businesses that are, you know,
gouging their salaries.
So, not only is he courageous, but he doesn't know how this is really going to pan out for himself.
He's taking a risk.
It is going to cut into his profits. But regardless, he's sending a message.
Yeah.
Which I think is a really great message. We'd love to hear from you whether you agree or disagree with that message.
Right.
Because, you know, I mean, maybe it's not feasible. And that's what I think. Maybe that's what these big CEOs are going to come back with. It's not feasible.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get the true talent. You're not going to get the people that, you know, are the best in the world if you don't pay them millions, which I think has been their story for a while.
Uh-huh.
And it's not true.
Aha.
Uh-huh. I don't think it's true. Anyway. Well,
so Donald Trump, if you're listening.
No, but this is a really good point, because I think what is true, even when they're talking about why he started the business, was that a credit
processing.
Credit processing. And he started the business because he wanted to save other people on the fees, right?
Right.
So this person's drive is not purely profit. And many entrepreneurs are not driven just by profit. They may be driven by adventure. They may be driven by
He had
trend.
The money, and it didn't really matter to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of person that we need to see more of in the corporate world, because we all have to work, and there's fewer and fewer jobs because the technological disruption has really, really changed every industry. We just don't have as many jobs as we used to have.
We don't.
So we need to make some changes here. Mm-hmm. Big ones.
We do. So what we want to hear the changes that you would like to see made and your opinion about the pay level of CEOs at Ask K2.
So we'll just take a quick commercial break and come back with another pay inequity conversation.
Yes.
Ever feel like you or your company could use a 20-minute therapy session? Well, K-Squared has your back. Simply download a K-Talk, plug in those ear pods, or gather a group of your coworkers and feel better instantly. Well, almost. Each K-Talk covers a specific topic and costs a fraction of what a traditional therapy session would. Feeling stressed by your workload? There's a K-Talk for that. Working with someone who's done you wrong? There's a K-Talk for that. Can't ask for a raise, need a vacation, hate your boss? K-Talk, K-Talk, K-Talk. Just go to ksquaredenterprises.com and purchase the K-Talk that fits your situation. Now back to our show.
All right. Well, welcome back. I mean, I find this to be a very sobering topic. Logan, I know we have a question that came in about this.
I've just discovered that a newly hired male account executive who has less experience than I have and is 5 years younger than I am is getting paid 25% more salary. As a woman who's worked at this company as a top-producing account executive for 10 years, I am insulted and furious. What do I do about this?
Yeah. I mean, this is so common, unfortunately. You know, yes, there's a couple of reasons why this happens. And so just to put it out there, because it's not always let's screw the women in the workplace. Ooh. It has to, you know, it has to do with what the pool was like, mm-hmm. what the going salary today is versus right. when this person was hired.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So there's other factors.
Yes.
And maybe what he was making at his previous job, and in order to get him, this is what they had to give. Mm-hmm. I mean, so just to put that out, there may be other factors.
Yes.
And then there's the big factor, which is that women tend to be underpaid.
Or paid less than men, relatively speaking.
Both.
So yeah. what do we do yeah. about that, Kathy?
Well, I think that she has to speak up now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it used to be that you never told your salary, but now there isn't anybody who doesn't tell their salary. Everybody, you know, talks about it.
Yeah.
So I think she has to speak up.
So she has to go to the person who she reports to and say, I've discovered this and it's, right. it's not acceptable and we need to talk.
Right. Mm-hmm. What is it going to take to bring me up, or should I start looking for another job?
Mm-hmm.
Because this may actually be the time to start looking, because if that's the going rate now, maybe that's what you need to do. I just mm-hmm. had a conversation with a client who was afraid to ask for too much money. And
yeah.
I made the statement to her that I say all the time, which is if you come in high, you stay high. You come in low, you stay low.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she may have come in too low.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, where she stays.
Well, and I would love to just address, again, the internal aspect of this, which is I think that for many women, first of all, they don't necessarily feel as valuable or don't feel overly valuable. Mm-hmm. And what I find, even from a gender perspective, is there's an internal provider in many men, whether you are married and have kids or not, where you just assume that you need to go for the highest possible salary. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Women don't seem to have that same So we really have to calculate it, and we have to push ourselves to ask for more.
You know, I don't have the statistic on the top of my head, but it's something like 80% of households are only supported by a mother.
Yes.
So I think it's more of our culture and the way we think.
That's
what I'm saying. We think men are the providers, whether they are or not.
Right. Mm.
And we think women are not, and that they have other support, and that's just not true. But I think it is an internal job where mm-hmm. we have to ask for our value mm-hmm. and feel like we deserve it. You know, this is a double-edged sword, because you may be working for someone who doesn't appreciate, you know, appreciate it. So this is something we all have to participate in and work hard at.
But that's such a good point. Now we go back to the famous cultural fit issue, because I had a client in a very similar situation. Her boss was a woman, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and the woman said to her something to the effect of, there's nothing I can do about this. But it was because the culture itself, as it turns out, was biased towards paying men more in every area. Yeah. So she, by discovering this experience, by finding out that the person junior to her who was a man was being paid more, she really realized that her entire corporation, though they had said, we love to treat everyone equally, was biased.
Didn't. Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you really look at the history, because I've been in the workplace for a while, and I was, you know, when I first came into the workplace, there weren't that many women mm-hmm. in the workplace to begin with. And women traditionally worked in low-paying fields.
Yeah.
They teachers or
social work.
Social work, or they were secretaries,
yeah. mm-hmm.
or they worked in publishing. Uh-huh. So, I mean, women have, you know, traditionally those have been the roles. So there's a long history to this. This
yeah.
is not, you know, going to change that quickly, but everyone has to work hard at asking for it. I mean, I've read a million articles that say you get a raise when you ask for it, not
yeah.
when you deserve it. Mm-hmm. So we have to get better at asking.
Ooh, the art of the ask.
Yeah.
That's yeah. good.
And we've done, I think, podcasts on how to ask for a raise.
We have. We have yeah. a K-Talk on how to ask
and we
for
do.
A raise.
We have a K-Talk. So we could, you know, this is an ongoing, I think, discussion that we'll probably bring up again. But basically, you can't go in shaking or with a rash on your, you know how sometimes when you're nervous,
or hedging your words, like
sweating.
Kind of, sort of,
right,
would you,
right.
I would like, maybe I should.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No hedging, no hedgy words.
Right. So you really have to get yourself in a place where you're prepared to go ask for a raise.
Rehearse.
Right. Not only rehearsing, but really maybe preparing some documents. Like,
yeah.
this is what I've done for the company. And
yeah.
I've gone on salary.com, and I know that I could be earning a lot more, so I'd like to get a raise. Uh-huh. So you have to really feel comfortable and confident to do that. So it takes some work.
Maybe walk around the apartment with some boxing gloves on and just punch.
Okay, that's
energetically. I'm just
surprised
thinking.
You're not bringing up a dating analogy. like when you have to ask somebody, go on a date and say, "Will you marry me?" or "I want to get married." Right? Is there something there?
Well, in that case, I would do like affirmations about "I love myself."
that works for some people.
But I'm good enough. I'm smart enough, and gosh darn, people like me, like Stuart Smalley.
Look in the mirror.
There is something true about that, though. About
there is, really, and actually be great to find if you are a woman and or a man, anybody, but you have a mentor, someone who is comfortable in this realm, right? Mm-hmm. Or a coach, but work with somebody for whom this is not such a difficult thing,
right?
And they can, you can, there is a thing called social learning theory where you actually, when you watch someone else feel entitled and mirror what it's like to ask for high amounts of money, you become more capable of doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's true. You know, I mean, some of the internal blocks that I hear is they don't feel they deserve it, mm-hmm. or, you know, if I get turned down and I don't get it, what do I do? Do I have to leave? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons we tell ourselves why we can't ask for a raise. We should just be given it.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it doesn't always work that way. I mean, some companies do give raises, but you usually have to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is an internal as well as an external job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we hope this has been some help to you, question asker.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're covering some interesting stuff, which is, you know, the world possibly is changing as the younger generations come into the workplace and they don't like this inequity.
Yeah.
And, you know, as gender equity starts happening, maybe so will pay.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe people will start to get paid what they're worth and be part of that movement. I love that movement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's it for this show.
Join us next time on another My Crazy Office podcast. And don't forget to review us on iTunes and tweet us your ideas about salary, pay, equity, inequity, high CEO salaries, low, at AskK2. And send us your questions at info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.